Good morning, second service. Good to see you today. I hope you've enjoyed the worship music thus far. We return to the Psalms, and today the 51st division of the Psalms, when sin invades your life. If there's a psalm for every season of the soul, some of us have come into this building this morning struggling with inward conflict, with inward sin, with something wrong that needs to be made right. It's not a challenge to your Christian life. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, if He's Lord over all in your life, you have the certainty of heaven. It's not relationship that we speak of, it's fellowship. It's something missing in your fellowship with God. And in Psalm 51, David speaks of that. Here's the backdrop. David's just a young boy. He's called in before Samuel and anointed to be the next king of Israel. Several years pass. In the middle of that time, he defeats Goliath. In the middle of that time, he becomes a servant to Saul. But Saul grows very jealous of David and pursues him in such a way that David spends at least 3 years of his life in the Judean wilderness running from Saul. Even after he ascends to the throne, he has problems with his children. Absalom tries to create a coup in the land, and David runs from him for a while. But David is back settled on the throne in the kingdom. He's a king. It's the springtime, the time of year when most kings saddle up and ride off with all of their armies to conquer. But for some reason, David stays behind. And during that period of time when David stays behind in the palace, he sees, lusts after, and has brought to him one named Bathsheba. He commits adultery with her. He tries to murder her husband. The child that is born of that union dies. And David wonders when the hand of God will reach down and find him. One day, Nathan the prophet comes to David. Nathan said, David, I want to tell you a story. Rich man lived next door to a poor man. Poor man had one little lamb. Rich man had all that life has to offer. Rich man had company. Went next door to where the poor man lived. Stole his one little lamb. Killed it. Cooked it. Used it for the evening meal, leaving the poor man with nothing. David is outraged. Who would do such a thing? Nathan the prophet said, "Why, David, you would do such a thing. You are the man I'm talking about in this story." Chapter 51 of the Psalms is David's response to that brutal but honest message from Nathan. He flees to his bedchamber. He shuts the shutters and slams to the door, and he begins to pour out his heart in prayer. The psalm consists of three parts. There is David's confession. There is David calling for God's cleansing. And then there's David's commitment when this has transpired. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, and let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good design in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is the word of God. You are the people of God. Receive with meekness this engrafted word, that it might be able to save your souls. Father, may Jesus shine through the living word and be that honored and exalted word in our midst this morning, that we shall look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, and press toward the mark of the high calling of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. The psalm opens up with David's confession. David immediately recognizes what Nathan has said. He does not begin to place blame elsewhere. Oh, you know the pressures of being a king. She should have never been on that porch at that time of the day. It's not my fault, it's hers. She should have never come to me when invited. But David immediately calls out four things before God. God, this is my transgression. God, this is iniquity. God, this is evil. God, this is sin. In other words, David calls it like it really is. True repentance is agreeing with God that it's not just a mistake, it's not just a lack of knowledge. It's not that I was not wise enough. It's that I sinned in the presence of Almighty God. It is interesting that those four words comprise all of the ways of describing the fullness of sin. A transgression is a mark drawn in the sand that one steps across. I have broken the law of God. Iniquity is the creation of my heart that is depraved and is not what it ought to be, so that it cannot do what it needs to do. And he admits that my heart is not clean. I've stepped across the mark and my heart is not clean. Evil is the thought process of the mind. Lord, my thinking is not what it's supposed to be. And the word sin, hamartia in the original language, means falling short of the glory of God. My hands have not been able to do that which is perfect. I am a sinner. I have blood on my hands. So David covered all of the aspects of sin and confess that before Almighty God. And David understood the source of that sin. He said, in sin and my mother did conceive me in iniquity. He said, from the very outset, I was a sinner. I am a sinner, and this is what I have done. David confessed his sin to the Lord. Now, could I just stop and talk to you a moment? Some of us in this building today could find one of those four words, two of them, three of them, or all four of them, to describe how we are living at this very moment. If we were to ask you, if you were to ask me, are you a Christian? Perhaps the response would be, yes, when I was, I trusted Christ. Way back there, I gave my life to him. But today, there's sin in my life. Today I am transgressing the law of God. Today there's evil intentions in my heart and mind. Today my hands are full of the blood. Today my life is not what it ought to be. David confessed it, and so must we if we are to find what's the second thought of the chapter, cleansing. Now, if there were four words that described his sin, there are seven words that describe what sin did to the life of David. And if you'll look down this passage of Scripture, you'll find these seven words. The first thing he says is, "It defiles me. I need to be made clean," verse 7. The word "defile" there is literally translated, "contaminates me." And it goes back to the idea of leprosy. When one had leprosy, you could see white spots on the hands and the arms, and finally the face would take on that appearance and it would be scaly. And a man was required by law to cry, "Unclean, do not come near me." And if you were on that side of the street and I were on the same, I would cross over to the other side to keep you from getting too close to me, because leprosy was a deadly, contagious disease in that day. And David now cries out and says, "Lord, like leprosy has contaminated the skin, sin has done the same thing for my life. That is the result of sin in my life. I'm contaminated. I'm defiled. I'm not clean. I need to be free from this contamination." The second thing that David says is, "It has deafened me." He said, "Oh Lord, let me hear joy and gladness." It's a terrible and tragic thing not to hear from heaven. It's an awful thing not to hear from God. It's quite a disturbing matter to go on singing in the choir, teaching the class, preaching the sermon, coming to the church, and heaven silent before you. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God, committing the actions of a Christian, but not having the heart and attitude of a Christian. David said, "Lord, it's been a long time since I've heard from you." Sin will not only defile you, it will deafen you. The third thing that he said was, "Sin disgraces you. Lord, you have hidden your face from me." No sadder words have ever been said in Scripture than the fact that God might hide his face. It's the face of God that gets us through the stormy times. It's the face of God that gives us somebody to love and something to live for. It's the face of God that helps us when all other faces have walked away and disappeared. When everyone else frowns in their face, God's smile upon his face is what keeps us going in the daytime, makes us rise up in the morning. And David said, "God, I've embarrassed you. I've humiliated myself. I've embarrassed you." I don't want to be offensive, but some of us live lives that embarrass God, dishonors his church, disgraces his cause. David said, "Lord, I admit that this evil, this transgression, this iniquity, this sin that I've committed, it's a disgrace. I've embarrassed you." He moves to the next thought and he says, "Lord, this has damaged me. It has made me need a clean heart. You're going to have to recreate in me a clean heart." David's heart had gotten so full of evil, transgression, iniquity, and sin that he says, "Lord, you're going to have to start over with me. Not save me again, but bring me once again into a right fellowship with you. You're going to have to scrape away." If you've ever seen the skit guys, and one particular skit's quite awesome. One man stands on the stage and says, "Lord, I want to be more like Jesus." And the other man brings out a hammer and a chisel, and he appears to be hammering away. And the first man says, "Ow, that hurts. Ouch, that hurts. Not there, not that, not that. Too much." And he says, "Do you want to look like Jesus or not? I'm knocking away your pride. I'm taking away your arrogance. I'm beating out your interference with God's plan. I'm taking away anything and everything that doesn't look like Jesus." That's what the sculptor was explaining when somebody said, "How do you take a lump of clay and make a beautiful statue?" He said, "I take a hammer and a chisel and I just knock everything off the clay that doesn't look like what I want it to look like." That is what God does. He takes the hammer of his omniscience and the chisel of his divine sovereignty, and he knocks everything off of every one of us that doesn't look like Jesus Christ. It hurts. It's painful. But David cries out and said, "Lord, I'm damaged goods." He said, "Don't cast me away from your presence." So it's not just defiling and deafening and disgracing and damaging. It's such that it dooms us. I've cast away from your presence. No place on this earth is as lonely as a place without the sacred presence of God. No place on this earth is as frightening for the child of God than to look around and find that no one and nothing seems to work and no one seems to care. God has not left us, but we've left Him. We've walked in our own righteousness. We've walked in our own ways. And David cries out and said, "Oh God, you have cast your presence away from me." And he comes to describe it as real defeat and depression when he says, "Lord, what I really need is to be restored. I need to be restored. I need the joy of your salvation, and I need you to uphold me with your willing spirit. What's wrong in my life? My joy is gone, and I'm down and out. You need to uphold me and fill me with the joy of your salvation." So David confesses his sin. He calls it transgression and evil and iniquity and just sin. And he says, here's the result of it. I feel defiled. I feel deaf. I feel disgraced and damaged and doomed and defeated and discouraged. But God, I'll make a commitment. If you will restore me to the joy of your salvation, if you'll deliver me and clean me up, and qualify me for service and ministry, if you'll bring me back into true and right fellowship with you, I'll make you two promises, Lord. First of all, I will share my faith. Then will transgressors hear about you, and sinners will be turned back to you. I'll share my faith, Lord. I'll tell my story. If you'll clean me up and lift me up and set me up, I'll tell my story. I will tell others what good thing God has done for me. I will shout it out. I will let people know. I will no longer simply abide by silence in my life. I will begin to speak up and speak out for Jesus Christ. I'll tell my story. And he said, number two, I'll give my praise. He said, my mouth will begin to utter your praise. Songs of praise will be lifted up from my heart. I will begin to praise you. Well, the Davids of today, they could be called Don or Joe or Jim or Bill or Pete. The Davids of today, they could be called Mary or Susie or Sally. You know who you are, just as David knew who he was. And the Nathan of God's word points to us today and cries out and says, if sin has invaded the life of one who calls himself a Christian, if evil, transgression, iniquity, and sin falling short of God's glory is how you're living your life, know this, you're defiled. You're deaf to the voice of God. You're a disgrace to the cause of Christ. You're damaged goods who are doomed in this life to no fellowship at all. You're desperate and defeated. But there is a cure, and that cure is simply this: transparency and honesty before Almighty God. And when God does what God does, your commitment is, I'll tell my story and I'll sing your praises. I want to be honest. First service, second service, over 1,000 folks in one Sunday. Very simple message from God's word. About like what Nathan did. You tell a story and you point out that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But some of us in this service today need to be broken. Some of us in this service today, we've come in here, put on a face, a mask, and acted like all was right in our relationship and our fellowship with God. But we're stealing His money. We're sleeping around. We're not honoring Him with faithfulness. It's been a long time since we really prayed. We're not reading our Bibles. Our neighbors are going to hell and we act as if we don't care. Is all well with our world? It's full of sin, evil, iniquity, and transgression. It defies us. It deafens us to the voice of God. It discourages us. It disgraces the kingdom's work. It dooms us to a lack that has no peace and joy. What can we do? Oh God, be merciful. We're but a prayer away. Oh God, be merciful. We're but a prayer away from forgiveness. We're but a prayer away from cleansing. And then we make the commitment. I will share my story and I will sing your praise. For you have brought me up and set me on a solid rock and established my goings and put a new song in my heart, even a song of hallelujah to my God. Let's stand together. There will be pastors in the altar. We had 8 additions in first service. The Lord blessed mightily. I'm praying in this service for 3 things to happen. Anybody lost, come and let us tell you about Jesus and how He can save you from your sin. Anybody who needs to become a part of our church membership by baptism because you're a Christian or by letter because you've coming from some other church of like faith and order, you come and let us receive you today. But I'm praying that all over this building, from my heart to your heart, if there's anger, resentment, bitterness, apathy, unconcern, if you're living outside of the standards of God's Word, if you're living a life that's disgracing the cause of Christ, I'm praying that you'll come find a pastor or a praying place and cry out like David of old, "Oh God, be merciful to me. My iniquity, my evil, my sin, my transgression, it's caught up with me. I need the joy of your salvation. I need your cleansing, your deliverance, and your forgiveness. And oh God, if you will, it will make a difference in my life. I'll tell my story and I'll shout your praises." You know if God's speaking to your heart, and we'll be here to help you if He is. From the heart of God, oh. Tonight's worship service begins at 6:30. It is musical. It is from the Gospel of John. I know that you will enjoy and appreciate it. I hope you'll come back and bring guests with you. Watch these video announcements and then have a great afternoon.
Good morning. I'm Lisa, and here's a few things that we want to share with you today at Central. Senior adults, we're registering now for a conference to be held.